So we are concluding our series, 4-week series in Romans. Our desire has been to enter into peace with God, peace with ourselves, and peace with those around us. Last week we started looking at having peace in our relationships. And we're going to talk about that today because relationships, I don't know if you knew this, relationships are tricky. Anybody discover that? Yes, Tim, yeah. So this sermon is for Tim. It's for all of us, isn't it? Relationships are tricky. Paul knew that relationships were tricky, right? Paul, at the beginning of his ministry, had to work hard to gain the trust of people who only knew him as a zealous persecutor of the church. They're like, are you kidding? Saul of Tarsus? We've heard about him in his zeal for the Torah, for the law of Moses. He was putting people into jail because they followed this rabbi, Jesus, and who would serve a Messiah that was dead. So he had to earn their trust. Then later he had a falling out with his good friend and co-worker Barnabas on their first missionary journey. Young John Mark had been a bit overwhelmed, so he left. He dropped out of the team and went back home. And when it came time to go out again, Barnabas said, let's give him a second chance. And Paul said, are you kidding? And they had a falling out, and they went in different directions. So Paul isn't giving us this really simplistic advice about how to have peace with others. He knows that relationships are tricky, and then we read the Corinthian letters and see about that tricky relationship he had with them, right? They were way off base, and he wrote this letter to correct and rebuke them, and then he was uncertain about how that was going, and you could read that in his second Corinthian letter. He wasn't sure how they received his rebuke, and then Titus came with the good news that they received it well, and he's like, so relieved. So Paul understood about how tricky relationships are. One thing we don't think about was Paul was a zealous Jew. And then he had this encounter with Jesus, and imagine going back home to his family and saying, I was wrong about Jesus. He is the Messiah. And they'd be like, what? And then he stayed and worked for a while in the family business, and you can only imagine just the tensions that were involved in that. He was going one direction, and now he's going a completely different direction. So when Paul writes about relationships, he doesn't write, you know, some simple advice. He gets it. Relationships can be tough. So we find ourselves in the passage that Douglas read for us in Romans chapter 12, verses 17 through 21. If you have your Bibles or want to look on your electronic device, Romans 12, verses 17 through 21. I see four things. If you have your outline, I've written them down for you. The first thing I see there is, do not take revenge. Do not take revenge. Paul says it this way in verses 17 and 18. Do not repay evil for evil. Do not take revenge. Let's be honest and say that taking revenge, hurting someone who hurts us, is a natural impulse, right? I mean, you probably remember being a kid and somebody hitting you, and you know, you didn't have to think, now what would be an appropriate response? One time we were playing street hockey, and my cousin Peter, somebody slashed his fingers with a hockey stick, which, you know, really hurts. He dropped his stuff, and oh, the fists were flying, and nobody taught him that, right? That was just a natural response. Mental note, don't slash cousin Peter. But we come by it honestly. As adults, maybe we're a little more sophisticated in how we try to hurt someone back who has hurt us. Maybe somebody's name comes up in conversation and we just cast a little doubt about their character. Or, you know, you didn't hear it from me, but, right? Here's a chance to hit somebody who hurt us. Revenge can seem satisfying, but it always causes damage. Things can escalate, and before we know it, words are said that bruise us and that bruise our relationships. The fire that we start to hurt someone else may burn down our own garage. This music stand is kind of, yeah, stay. Jesus, who does not treat us as our sins deserve, calls us to something different, something better. He calls his sons and daughters to be peacemakers, to give grace to others, even as God has given grace to us. I was thinking about a parallel passage. I just want to read a few verses for you from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. Paul says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. And be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So what do? With God's help, we check our desire to hurt back, to take revenge. Which brings us to the next idea, which is this. Do your part. Do your part. And here is where this whole idea for this series began, with verse 18. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So here we see Paul's realism. It is possible, after we have done our part, that we will not live at peace with all people. That's because a relationship is made up of at least two people, both with a different perspective, a different history, and a different personality. The other person may not be willing to reconcile. That's a reality that we have to live with. Now, this verse is not an easy out for us. We should not say, well, I did my part. I said sorry. Well, that's good, maybe, but maybe we're not done. So what is our part? As far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. What might that include? Just some ideas. It might include some real soul searching. It might include asking for forgiveness. It might include focusing on things that we have in common. It might include forgiving the other person. It might include building bridges, watching our words and our tone. It might include being gentle. It might include trying again. But it's not a formula, right? Ask God to give you wisdom and insight, humility and grace, healing and help. Getting along is hard work. So, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. I was thinking about a story from my own family. About 12 years ago, really just about this time of year, my mom was dying in the hospital. At the same time, my oldest brother was dying of cancer and about ready to go into hospice. So mom died, and my oldest brother asked my other brother, Todd, did mom die? And he said, yes, she did. Well, my niece heard that, and they were trying to protect my brother. They didn't want him to be told that mom died, and she lit up my brother, if you know what I mean. There were some angry words expressed in a very angry tone. And about a week later, my brother died. And we saw the family during the funeral, but some damage had been done. And so we had no contact, really, with my brother's family for like 7 or 8 years. So as far as it is possible, you know, he apologized. We did our part, but they were just not, they're having none of it. So over time, right around that 7 or 8 year period, my niece, who was so angry, her house burned down in Brockport. And my brother sent her a message and said, you know, we're combining households, my wife and I. We've got all kinds of extra stuff, and maybe we have some things that would be of use to you. Are you interested? It was a fig leaf, right? And she said, yes, I am. And he said, would you like to get together for dinner and talk about it? And she said, yes, I would. And when they first got together at the restaurant, she said, you know, I said some things in anger, and I'm sorry about that. And I just want you to know that I want to move ahead in our relationship. And she's been as good as her word. And so all of a sudden, she's part of our lives again. We have family gatherings, and she comes. She's living and working in Boston, and whenever we go through, we stop and see her. She's formed this great relationship with our daughter, who's her cousin, and she's part of our lives again. Right? Doesn't that illustrate what Paul is talking about? If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with all people, and sometimes it isn't. Sometimes it breaks our hearts. But then sometimes people's hearts and minds change. And God can bring a healing to their lives. And so maybe you're in a difficult chapter right now. But I want to encourage you that maybe a new chapter is coming, and wait and pray. And if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with all people. But don't give up hope. Don't think I'm trying to make relationships sound easy. They're often tricky, sometimes impossible. Let's keep going. Let God do his part. That's the next thing I see in this passage. Let God do his part. We see it in verse 19. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it's mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. Judging other people is not our job. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Oh. The only problem is my wife is here listening to this, and so I'm going to hear this again. Thank you, honey. Yeah, what a relief. We let God do the judging, which frees us to do the loving. And actually, God does both, right? If there's a punishment to hand out, it's up to God, who sees the human heart and who knows so much more than we do. I love in the book of Genesis, you might remember the story, the angel of the Lord, which is the pre-incarnate Jesus, we believe, came down because he heard that there are so many victims of the lifestyle in Sodom and Gomorrah, and so God came in person to check it out. And he appeared to Abraham first, and Abraham said, but what if there are 50 righteous people living in those twin cities? Will you spare the cities for them? Yep, 40, 30, down to 10. If you find 10 righteous people in these twin cities, will you spare them? And he says this, will not the judge of the earth do right? And it was a rhetorical question, right? It was really a statement that we believe the judge of the earth will do what is right. We can trust him because, unlike us sometimes, he loves and wants to redeem everyone, even those who do evil. So I wanted to read a passage from Romans chapter 12 that talks about God and how he is able to be a just judge, but also at the same time, he wants to redeem people. I'm reading from Hebrews 12, verses 4 through 11. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. and you've completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son. It says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son." So endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? And if you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. And you might say, well, there's a difference between judgment and discipline. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe. But maybe not. Like, maybe part of why God is such a great judge is not only that he sees everything, he knows the story behind the story, but he also, again, works in people's lives. Maybe somebody that we would write off and say, well, they just need God's judgment. And maybe God's not done with them yet. Maybe God still wants to redeem them. And so aren't you glad that God is the judge and not us? Because shall not the judge of the earth do right? Let God do his job. One more thought. Overcome evil with good. Overcome evil with good. Verse 20, on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, and in doing so, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Isn't that revolutionary? Overcome evil with good. Isn't that good news in this world today? Isn't it? What do we do in this evil world? Good? The things that we saw Jesus doing? I just want to say something, because when it says by doing, overcoming evil with good, by being nice to somebody who hurts you, in doing so you will heap burning coals upon his head. So I just want to say something about that, because it sounds like a passive-aggressive way to get even with somebody. Right? Yeah, it sounds like, ha, that'll fix you. I don't think that's really the tone, right? So I like what Eugene Peterson in the translation called The Message, how he translates this phrase. He says, your generosity will surprise him with goodness. Oh, that was an unexpected response. I was expecting something harsh, and there was something kind. Why are you being nice to me? What's the answer? Jesus calls us to be different. When I was God's enemy, Jesus died for me. He calls us to imitate his grace and his kindness. The world has enough hatred, enough vengeance, enough pain, enough angry voices. You be different. Forgive. Build bridges. Keep praying. Keep the door of your heart open. See things from another perspective. Have a conversation. Be kind. Do your part. And let God do his. This whole Jesus thing is kind of surprising, isn't it? It's like he wants us to see other people in the world in whole new ways. And then he offers us the Holy Spirit to help us do it. So I want to give you a moment to respond to what you've heard today. And I know for some of you, maybe this has been a hard message, and I get that. But what is the Holy Spirit saying to you today? What is your part? So let's take a few moments to respond to what we've heard. And maybe you just need to have an honest conversation with God. Maybe you need to ask for his help. Maybe you want to pray about a relationship. Let's not miss what God has for us in this moment. And then I'll pray for us.